Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and reading verses 1 to 12. Paul writes, "Dare any one of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between the brethren, his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, Paul in the previous passage that we looked at was dealing with church discipline and how they needed to act when people were behaving in ways that were contrary to the word of God. That as a church, with its leaders, they had a responsibility to lead people and guide people into paths of holiness. And when they blatantly refused to do that, then they had to exercise church discipline. And of course, church discipline is of not the same nature as a civil government. We don't have the power of the sword. We don't have power to inflict physical harm or imprisonment or death itself. In fact, we have greater power than that. Greater power than that. Because God has promised whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. In other words, when we act according to God's word in exercising church discipline, we have the most somber responsibility that we can put somebody out of the church, excommunicate that person, that they are no longer part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a far heavier sentence that anyone can receive in this life. To not be part of God's people and to think that that is something to be taken lightly is a fatal mistake. Fatal mistake. And we don't make it hastily. Even when we do take that step, we always say, until that person repents, shows evidence of repentance and change, that then that they can come back and we will receive them. Because it is such a serious thing that we declare about them. And we don't want it to be so. But we can't avoid what we're seeing. Can't avoid that they're trampling God's law underfoot and they don't care about what the church is saying to them. We have to bring them to that realization of how serious this is. And so from that whole arena, the Apostle Paul turns to them to address how they are dealing with one another, not only in the context of the church, but also that they were taking one another to court. They were rushing to the courts. Whatever issues they had, well, we're going to go to the legal system. It's as ironic and foolish for Solomon, for example, in the Old Testament, when he was king and he had God's God gave him wisdom. It would be as foolish for Solomon to have gone to the queen, that came to her, and say to her, you know, can you help me out with this issue that I have? I have a problem. I'm trying to sort it out. Can you help me with your wisdom? He didn't go to her, did he? She came to him because she recognized that he had the wisdom of God, and she was just overwhelmed by what she saw. That's what the church is to be to this world. Not rushing to the world, asking them to be on their side, to get the advantage from them, but rather we're to be a model for the world. So we're to be examples. But when we throw that aside and Christian goes with a Christian to the courts and asks them, Paul says, what an embarrassment that is. What a wrong message that we're sending, you Corinthians are sending to them. You're making them look superior. You're making them look wiser than you. Why should they hear the gospel then? Why should they give any attention to the gospel? They would look at us just like any other group of people with faults and struggles and trials and in need of them. Don't get me wrong on what Paul is saying. He's not saying that there is no room for civil authorities. I mean, clearly he's not saying that. Because civil authorities, Paul says, have been ordained by God. They've been given the power of the sword. They've been given authority to restrain evil. God has a purpose for civil authorities. And he's placed those people in their positions. As I said, to restrain evil. And we have a world full of unbelievers. They need restraining. Otherwise, we'd kill each other. And so there is absolutely room for civil authorities. But here he's talking about the church. So he's saying, look, when you interact with one another, then, especially in certain areas, then don't go rushing to the courts. And certainly don't go rushing to the courts with what we see all around us, as we say these days. Everyone wants to sue everyone. Everyone's got their self-interest. And if they can get away with it, they'll do it. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. Don't profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his word and then go and try and cheat your own people, believers, cheating them out of money or whatever it is that you're disputing about. And as long as you can do it, as long as you can get a lawyer that will be able to do it, then this is all good to you. And Paul is saying, what has happened? What are you thinking? Doing those things. You have no regard about who you are. You have no regard for the wisdom that God has given to us in his word. And you set that aside and you just do what you think is good for you. You know, so often we think about our witness to the world in terms of sharing the gospel. That's the way we think about And so we give them a pamphlet, or we have a 5-10 minute conversation. We think, you know, we did good. That's really good. But if you don't live that, then that absolutely means nothing. Absolutely means nothing. As we sung, we can do all kinds of things that outwardly look good, and people make praises for that. But it's saying, if you don't have love for those people, you're absolutely useless. Well, you did it absolutely useless. It doesn't accomplish anything. Because the fact that you don't have love in your heart trumps everything else that you did. Trumps everything. Because it says you're not genuine. What you did was for your own purposes. And people would disregard that. I mean, people do all kinds of things in our society. They donate billions. Billions. And you would think, well, why would anybody criticize such a person that gives billions? Why? Because people say, oh, they only did it for their own purposes. Only did it for their name. Or did it to get influence. Right? And so they disregard that, even though what they did blows the mind. But if they haven't got love, if there's an ulterior motive, they're just trying to buy votes, say, we disregard that. Well, that's the same here. You say things to people about the gospel, and yet you act in ways that really cancel all of that out, that you really don't care about people, you really don't care about them, they're not going to listen to a word you say or take note of anything that you do. So the Corinthians could have boasted about all the talents they had, all the people that they had, and everything else like that. But what they were doing, says Paul in this chapter, you're undercutting all of that. All of that. He didn't deny that they were gifted. He didn't deny that they had great people in their midst. But he said, the way you operate with one another, you're not the envy of anyone. In terms of churches like Thessalonica, people were talking about them all over the place, of their faith, of how they were living. No one was talking about the Corinthian church in a positive way. And so it's important in terms of our witness, not only what we say to people, but also how do we act amongst ourselves? I mean, if we can't love ourselves, how can we love the world? This doesn't make sense. So the way that we operate with one another needs to be according to the wisdom of God. So the first thing that Paul emphasizes to them is the difference between God's people and the people of the world. I mean, we are the people that God has blessed, God has transformed through the gospel, by his Holy Spirit, through his word, that we have been given a new nature in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Spirit of God. And we have the Word of God. That's what we have. What does the world have? I mean, he spoke about that earlier in the book of, in the first book of Corinthians. Compared the wisdom of the world to the wisdom that we've received from God. And he says very clearly, let me demonstrate to you the wisdom of the world. They crucified the Lord of glory. Who is going to respect the wisdom that could not recognize the Savior of the world? Not only could not recognize him, in fact, they opposed him and put him to death. They crucified him. That's what they did. So blind. that they resisted him even to the point of death. It's one thing to say, okay, yeah, we have our own religion, we're not interested. No, no, no. They crucified the Lord of glory. And God did not choose people that were rich or affluent or wise of this world. No, God chose the simple. And through them, the wisdom of God shone in people that you would not expect in terms of this world. But the wisdom spoke for itself. That's what God has given us. And he's blessed us in terms of the way that he uses us. As Paul says, do you not know that saints will judge the world? Well, yes, because we will stand with the Lord Jesus Christ when he judges the world. It's not that we in our own strength are going to do it, no. But we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but angels, the fallen angels. We will sit with him in full agreement with everything that he's doing. There will be no voices raised when the Lord Jesus Christ judges the world. No family members will say, but Lord, he's my son. Oh, she's my daughter. No one will say that. Because Christ's judgment will be perfect. And we will be part and parcel of that. But in the meantime, in this world, he's given us that wisdom. He's given us that wisdom. Through the word of God, we have the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God to us. And the more we know him, the more that we know God's word, the more we come to understand the wisdom of God. And the more we seek with all of our strength, as Paul says in his other epistles, we bring every thought captive to Christ. We don't say, oh, Christ says this, but yeah, that doesn't kind of sit well with me. No, we don't do that. We bring every thought captive. Whatever our biases are, we bring them under the scrutiny of God's word. And where there needs to be changes, we have to make those changes. We don't excuse biases that we have. No, we are those that ought to be in line with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a good thing for us to read the Word of God from beginning to end. And there's that one test, isn't it? As we read and see what God has done, we have to ask ourselves, as Jesus did sometimes to his disciples, did that offend you? I did this, did that offend you? We ought to ask ourselves, are you offended? Why are you offended? This is God's word. Why are you offended at what he did? Read it again. Understand it properly. It's not always easy to understand. It's not always easy to follow. It's never, I was going to just say, not always. It's never easy to follow God's wisdom. And so we need, like Job says, sometimes we need to stop ourselves speaking and say, hush a minute. Don't be so fast to speak. Listen. Think about what God has done in his word. Come to be in line with God, not him to be in line with you. There are many things in the scriptures that are difficult to understand. But be careful not to criticize God. Because he's going to come back on you. Because he is wisdom itself. And since the world doesn't have that wisdom, it has a wisdom. Well, James describes it as demonic. That's what it has. Because they're under the influence of the devil. And he makes them into children of disobedience, children of wrath. They hurt themselves, but they're still proud of what they have. They boast about it. We see that in our society. They boast about the things that they put forward, and it makes no sense. And yet they don't see it. They don't see it. They parade their foolishness before the world. So unrighteousness prevails. But we have that heavenly wisdom from God. And understanding that makes this situation in Corinth untenable. What are you doing? If you understand those things, why are you rushing to the civil authorities as Christians against Christians, asking them to meddle, to rule on those things? I mean, even the Romans ruler said to the Jews, why are you bringing this to us? When they brought Jesus, why are you bringing this to us? Isn't there nothing wrong in terms of their laws? But of course, they had a hidden agenda. They wanted to put him to death, and they couldn't do that themselves. And they faked that they respected the Romans. They hated the Romans. But for their own purposes, they said, we have no king but Caesar. I mean, the most treasonous thing that they could say. But they hated Jesus so much that they were willing to do that. We have no king but Caesar. And that was from the leaders, the Jewish leaders. As I said, we're not putting the world down. We're not saying they have no room for civil authorities, that God has no purpose for them, that they're trash and God's not interested. Obviously not. He's sending us into the world to preach the gospel. He cares for them. But in order for them to hear the gospel, God needs us to be good and faithful witnesses and not muddy the waters by our actions and the way that we relate to one another. So when believers have struggles and differences, and there's certainly they arise, then we need to come to God's word. We need to come to God's people. We need to reason together, biblically reason together, and help come to a resolution. That shows the wisdom of God at work. I mean, what did the world do? The world fights. We see that all around. The world fights, goes to war, kills people, damages, untold damages, because each wants its way. And even when they have organizations that try and help, like the United Nations, for example, whatever you may think about them, but what are they able to do? They're not able to do it either. Because they're so set in their ways. They fight tooth and nail. That's what the world has. So what hope can they have? Hope to see how people from different nations of the world, believers, are able to work things out, are able to, in a loving way, to bring resolution into conflict. That's the hope for them. But if we fight tooth and nail, why would they go to church? Why would they become Christians if Christians are going to fight against one another? And they do. They do. But it's certainly true when they fight against one another, they don't care for the cause of Christ. They just want what they want. And that's what they are focused on. And, I mean, they think they're so right, but they're breaking so many other teachings of Christ, but that doesn't bother them. No, it's in the midst of God's people that we need to come and humble ourselves. And that's why we have in Matthew 18 the way that we ought to resolve issues, difficulties. So if a brother sins against you, go to him, talk to him, reason with him. And if that doesn't work, bring together other people, one or two witnesses, that can persuade either party to look at the facts and not have those facts colored by their own thinking. That you have independent people that can look at those, that are not, hopefully not, biased towards one or the other. And even if that doesn't work, well, then you take it to the church elders and let them work with them and work with them through God's word, helping them to understand where the fault lies so that there can be peace between the brethren. Now, God has laid out a whole methodology to help us. He knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we're going to have conflicts. But he's provided ways for us to resolve those. But it is to be between God's people, believers. But as I say, sometimes it happens that we can't. One party wants to, but the other one doesn't. I mean, just think about yourself. Why would one party say, nope, forget about the church, we're going to court? Why? Why? You think you're going to get justice then? You can't get justice among God's people. You can't explain it to God's people that they will understand what you're saying. No, you have to go to unbelievers to do that. You can be sure that when they're doing that, they think they're going to have a better hearing according to their wisdom and their laws than they are in the church. So they're not willing. They want to change the venue from the arena of God's people into the arena of the world. As I said, that's as foolish as Solomon saying, I'm going to go to some other country and ask to talk with their leaders and discuss, help them to help me understand how to resolve this issue. Would have been a black mark against all that God was doing among his people. So the damage that is done to the cause of the gospel, Paul is saying, you know, if you find yourself in that situation, do you think that whatever you might lose, right? In other words, they want to take you to court and they're demanding something and you're saying no, so they're going to find it out. He said, okay, whatever you're going to lose, is that more valuable to you than damaging the cause of God's church? So that you're not willing to take that loss and say, okay, let's settle that without going before them? Or is what you are standing for and what you're trying to protect so important that you're willing to bring the gospel into disrepute among in a worldly court setting just so that you can stand your ground? Is that asking too much, Paul is saying? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ did not open his mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ did not say a thing when all of our sins were placed upon him. And under God's verdict, he was pronounced guilty. And the sentence that we should have experienced was placed upon him. But he did not say a word. You will not find in the gospel narratives about the crucifixion and the hearings that they had between the chief priests and then to the Romans, there's not one word of defense that the Lord Jesus Christ makes. Not one word. Because he gave his life a ransom for many, so that you and I could be forgiven those sins, that those sins might be removed from us, so that we would be accepted by God and given the right to be called the children of God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And now we come into the situation where, no, whatever I'm going to lose, I'm not prepared to do that. at any cost. And if we have to go to the courts, we're going to go to the courts. And so Paul is saying, I mean, what value do you put on the gospel? What value do you put on a good witness to the world? That we want to be a witness. We want them to see. We want them to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what you're doing this way, they're not going to listen to that. They're not going to think about that because of what they see. On the opposite end, of course, as Jesus says, well, how do they know that you're my disciples? How are they impressed by the work of the gospel in you? Is it not in you loving one another? Because that's not what they find in the world. They find conflict. And here we have God's people. They have different thought, different ideas, but they love one another because they've been changed by the power of the gospel. And when conflicts come, they can sort them out in the environment of love and respect. Not an environment of war. I mean, they do that. James talks about that. You want certain things, you can't have them. So what do? You go to war. You fight with one another. But it's not for the cause of the gospel. That's not what you're doing it for. You're doing it for selfish reasons. Don't act like the world. Don't act like the world. Always have the honor of God on your minds. How will this look? How will this reflect on the gospel? How will it reflect on my God? I mean, our church has had difficulties with that, and other denominations too, when splits happen. And then the church is divided, and now they fight. Who's going to get the building? Who's going to get what? I mean, we went through that, and churches have gone through that. But that's when you tell the difference between those that really want to honor God, even in this conflict, and those that don't care. They just got angry feelings towards others. They had a church, about 500 people. We decided, because of concerns, theological concerns, that we were going to leave the denomination. So about out of 500, about 330 wanted to leave. The remainder, a third, says, everything belongs to us, you, all of you guys get out. And we said, doesn't seem fair. I mean, as Christians, you think that's fair? And so we proposed, we said, look, we're two-thirds of the people. Why don't you divide the church property, everything the church has, into two, half, and you can choose whichever one you want. And they said, no, you get nothing. You're leaving the denomination. You get absolutely nothing. And we said, no. No, that's not right. We're not trying to cheat you out of anything. We're giving you your choice. You want to keep the building? Keep the building. But they wanted to go to court. After 2 years, they came back and accepted what we had said at the beginning. But then people get worked up. These are people that were in our church, sitting next to us. But just the heat of all the things that were happening, they didn't think. And what a mockery that must have been for people around. Oh, here's this big church, and look at them. They're fighting with one another. People, God, how we act is serious before God. We're His witnesses. So as we read in Matthew's gospel, it's in Matthew's gospel, the passage I read, it's not a civil policy. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, hey, you judges, when you sit in judge and somebody comes and wants something from someone, give him even more than he's asking for. No, it's not a civil policy that he's saying. What Jesus is saying, look, in your personal interactions, don't always be in a fighting mode. Don't always say, oh, no, that's not fair. This is mine. This is mine. He's saying, be those that are peacemakers. So think less about ourselves. It doesn't mean that we become doormats for people, but what influence am I having? What message am I sending to people? Well, as Jesus says, as they experienced, right? Some of the Roman soldiers were like that. They would make you carry something for a mile. That was illegal. They could do that. But then they would do it again and again. And again, Jesus said, look, as Christians, let us be models for everyone. In everything that we say, in everything that we do. And so, the church is admonished by the Apostle Paul. Let's be careful. Let's act in such a way that no one needs to take us to court. We're not after them. We're not trying to get everything that we can. But we're trying to be fair. As I said, we were fair with the people of the church. Finally, they came to their senses. Let us deal honestly and lovingly with people so that we don't make this spectacle that Paul is speaking about. And the honor of God is promoted. And in that, the gospel is promoted. So that the wisdom of God can be seen as superior than the ways of this world. And that might encourage people to come to hear the gospel and to be part and parcel of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us think long and hard about the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ and honor of his word in everything that we do. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have been so loving towards us and just. But that justice was born by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't that justice was set aside, but rather, our Father, that you sent your Son to be our Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so justice was met. But mercy was also shown in all of its glorious colors. And we were the recipients of that. And our Father in heaven, whenever we think about injustice towards us, may our minds return to that redemptive transaction at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might be willing to bear injustice towards us for the cause of the gospel, so that we can reflect in a small way what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us and is willing to do for all those that repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed bless your people. May we be the light and salt of the world. Our Father, hear our prayers and receive our thanks, for we bring them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 599.